Thank you. Good morning and welcome here. If you are wondering why on earth is she wearing a mask, I just thought, considering all of the things that are happening in our community and by doctor's advice, maybe I would start trying it again. Not saying I'm going to wear it all the time, but it just seems like a wise course of action. So that's why. And maybe a little bit more later when we have the sharing time. But right now, let's gather our thoughts and our voices as we sing together from Sing the Journey, number 32. If you believe and I believe, we're going to hear a message from George Vyth talking about waiting on God and believing when we are waiting, that we will have answers from God. So please stand together. We're going to sing it twice. Be seated. I would like to officially now welcome each of you here. Some of you who have come just for the last event of the season before the fall things start happening, before we get into some other routines. And others have decided to take advantage of the waning summer days and go and visit relatives or do some other activities. So they are probably at their computers now, and so we greet them, and we appreciate their being together with us in spirit, if not in body. And as most of you know, we also were on holidays for the last 2 weeks, and we managed to get all the way to the West Coast and back. Thank you for your prayers and your care and for continuing on the work while we took a step out and now have returned. And for all of those traveling, we continue to pray and to give thanks for answered prayers for safety. I would like to open by reading just a few verses from Psalm. As you know, the tradition of Psalms is often a communal worship setting. And I don't think we use the Psalms enough. I'm just going to read a few verses from Psalm 105. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call on his name. Make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him. Sing praises to him. Tell all of his wonderful works. Glory is his holy name. Let the heavens and those who seek the Lord rejoice. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his presence continually. Remember the wonderful works he has done, his miracles and the judgments that he has uttered. We have gathered here today to remember and to remind one another of the glory of God and of all the wonderful deeds that he has done on our behalf. Let's continue with worship by reading together the call to worship. It is found in Voices Together, but it is printed here. I will read the leader part, and you can read the people. To worship is to stand in awe under a heaven of stars, before a flower, a leaf in sunlight, or a grain of sand. To worship is to be silent, receptive, before a tree astir with the wind, or the passing shadow of a cloud. To worship is to work with dedication and with skill. It is to pause from work and listen to a strain of music. To worship is to sing with the singing beauty of the earth. It is to listen through a storm to the still small voice within. Worship is the mystery within us, reaching out to the mystery beyond. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for gathering us together. Thank you for gathering us here as you have gathered so many of your children in various places and ways. We pray that your Holy Spirit would be astir within us in the things that we see, the things we hear, and the things that we meditate upon. May you be glorified in all that we do here today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can respond by singing again from the Sing the Journey, number 19, I Will Call Upon the Lord. Again, in the theme of dedication to prayer and asking from God. Can we sing it twice, Grace? Please rise. One request. For those who feel comfortable, can you put your books down and just clap a little? For those who don't feel comfortable, keep holding your books. Please be seated. I know I felt much better as I started moving, and then I realized, yes, these words are actually true that I'm singing, because when I'm holding my book, I'm really focused on hitting the right notes at the right time. And then when I realize what I'm singing, it just, something else happens. So thank you for joining in the various ways. Bart has run to the back and he's got the microphone. And there are going to be a couple of extra announcements. So we have a lot to pay attention to. Those of you who are here And now I'm not sure how this is going to work, because there might be some announcements that the people who are live streaming need to be aware of, but we need to mute the announcement and the sharing time. So if you hear something here, I've got the solution. If you hear something here today that other people who are not here need to hear, make sure they hear it. Got it? Was that clear? Just phone around by word of mouth, let people know the different things that are happening and encourage them to participate in some of these things. So before I allow anybody else to come up here, I want to make an urgent plea on behalf of our office staff, that's me and Grace, and those who were thinking about doing Meals on Wheels. And I know, it's all different. We have to register. The computer. And we throw up our hands and say, I can't do it. Please let us know, because we need people. September is Zion's month. So if you have decided not to help out, that means that I or Grace are going to be doing Meals on Wheels for 30 days. Now, you know, that's not what we want. And I actually managed, thankfully, to have someone volunteer just this morning to do this week. So Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday are taken care of. But if you are able, we will deal with all of that red tape and all of that registration and all of those things that are so scary. Please, if you are able and willing, let us know. We're desperately in need. Okay. Now, Grace, you're next.
I made a mistake. I forgot an announcement. I print these things very carefully, and I triple check them, and I still forgot Women in Mission on Thursday. It's not in there. Women in Mission are going to meet on Thursday. We'll meet downstairs like we have been the last year. And one thing we're going to do a little bit differently this year, and for our study time, we're going to study some Sunday school material. So we're going to use this series called Facing Life's Challenges. And so our Bible study time will be taken from that, and that'll be part of our service.
There is an announcement in the bulletin about the tellers, the list of tellers being revised. And we are asking for men and women who are members of Zion to be part of our tellers group if you choose to. At present, we have 3 people in a group, and we have 7 groups. So that means every 7th Sunday, your group would be counting the money before it goes to the treasurer. So basically, that's it. Call me if you're willing. We have quite a few tellers that are not able to do it anymore. And of course, some are no longer with us, so our tellers list is getting a little small, so that's why I'm making the request. For anybody that wants to be on tellers, please let me know. Thank you.
Next Sunday, you see in your bulletin right at the top there, it says next Sunday worship will be at Camp Elam. Usually we have our service in June, and we were hoping September would be more wide open. September looks sort of 50-50, but we do plan to have our worship service at Camp Elam, and that's at 10:30. So that gives you a few more minutes to drive out there. And we do hope to have it outside. So for those who are worried about, you know, being in that smaller space, and if weather is bad, we'll have it inside and maybe a few more masks. You're probably not as curious about the service as you are about what happens after the service. Usually we have coffee and muffins beforehand. That will not happen. But after the service, if you want to bring a lunch, then please do. It will be more of that sort of an eating together in the same vicinity. So it will not be a true potluck. That's still a little bit too dangerous. But if you bring something, bring your bag lunch, bring your casserole dish, I don't know, however you want to bring it, and then we will eat in the same area and possibly, hopefully, enjoy some time together in the afternoon there as well. There will not be any service here at Zion next Sunday. Does that answer any questions, Joy? Yeah? Anybody else have any questions? Just call us and we'll try to provide more details. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, thank you for your presence here, not only here in this building, but with us, wherever we are, whatever we are facing. Our lives continue on as you give us breath and life. And we thank you for the life that you have granted us. Thank you for the companionship that we have on our journey. And we pray that you would also help us to companion with one another, that we would not be consumed by our own issues, our own needs, that we would forget about our brothers and sisters, or even those that we don't know yet. Give us eyes to see where you long to reach out with your love and care and concern and attention to those around us, known and unknown. Thank you for the beauty of the earth and the beauty of the rain that confuses us completely. It's not happening at the right time. The heat was too much and at the wrong time. Aren't you following the science? And we look to you again and recognize we are not in charge. Help us all to recognize that we do indeed follow you, and to follow you with assurance and trust and obedience, wherever that leads. We pray for the farmers. It's easy for us who are not farming just to talk about it, to look at it, but we do pray for them and we ask for safety. In the same way, we pray for safety and help for all of those returning to school in the various capacities, at the various levels. It's a challenging journey. And we pray for those who have COVID, who have struggled with COVID and thought they were over it and now are still struggling. We pray for those who make decisions about COVID for the rest of us or even individually. We long for and pray for the day when we never have to say COVID again. And we pray for healing. And as we pray for that, we recognize there's so much more healing that needs to be done in so many different ways. But then we look around the world and we say, what is happening in Afghanistan? And we pray for them. We plead for them. We pray for their safety and their security, their lives, their very lives are at risk. We also pray for those in Haiti that are suffering the results, more storms. When will Haiti have security? Not only those, but the ones near at hand we also pray for. We pray for other churches. We pray for the churches of Swift Current. We pray for the Open Bible. We also pray for Fields of Hope Mennonite Church without a pastor. These and so many others we pray for, remembering and recognizing your wonderful answers to prayer, as well as the times that we or our friends have prayed and have not received what they asked for. We gather together to remember you, to worship you, to honor you, to bring our very selves before you, and we ask for your blessing on our lives. And so we lift our voices together with one voice to pray the way you taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And there go the tellers. For those of you who would like to volunteer, join the group. We are going to sing again. So find your Sing the Journey, and we will sing together number 103. 103, Why Should I Feel Discouraged? This is an old faithful one. We haven't sung this. Well, I remember singing this a lot as a kid. We're going to sing all three verses. Please stand. Please be seated. The scripture reading is from Psalm 119. This is the passage that George will be speaking from, and he will be reading a few of these verses as well in the middle of his message. Psalm 119, verses 132 to 152. Turn to me and be gracious to me, as is your custom toward those who love your name. Keep my steps steady according to your promise, and never let iniquity have dominion over me. Redeem me from human oppression, that I may keep your precepts. Make your face shine upon your servant, and teach me your statutes. My eyes shed streams of tears, because your law is not kept. You are righteous, O Lord, and your judgments are right. You have appointed your decrees in righteousness and in all faithfulness. My zeal consumes me because my foes forget your words. Your promise is well tried, and your servant loves it. I am small and despised, yet I do not forget your precepts. Your righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and your law is the truth. Trouble and anguish have come upon me, but your commandments are my delight. Your decrees are righteous forever. Give me understanding that I may live. With my whole heart I cry, "Answer me, O Lord. I will keep your statutes. I cry to you, save me, that I may observe your decrees. I rise before dawn and cry for help. I put my hope in your words. My eyes are awake before each watch of the night, that I may meditate on your promise. And in your steadfast love, hear my voice. O Lord, in your justice, preserve my life. Those who persecute me with evil purpose draw near. They are far from your law. Yet you are near, O Lord, and all your commandments are true. Long ago I learned from your decrees that you have established them forever."
Greetings, everyone. Some of you have maybe been wondering what Tobia and I have been up to these last few weeks. Well, we are into our last few weeks here in Harbin. July 15th, we will be officially leaving Harbin, and we will be doing some traveling. And so these last few weeks has been rather a bittersweet time for us, saying our goodbyes to many of our friends here in Harbin. We've made some really wonderful friends in the church as well as in the university community. And so we've been having dinners and meals together and saying our goodbyes. And so, as I said, it's been a bittersweet time to say farewell to them. Tobia has been busy with marking exams. She is administering exams to her English students, and we'll be marking exams probably right up until the last few days before we leave Harbin. So she's very busy with that. I myself am busy preparing some teaching materials. In August, or rather in the July, the end of July, the pastors of Some of the churches in this emerging Anabaptist network of churches have decided they would like to have a retreat together. And so they've invited Tobia and myself and have asked me to do some teaching and preaching. And so I'm busy getting ready for that. We also, as I mentioned, will be doing some traveling. Once we leave Harbin on the 15th of July, we will be making a road trip. Our MPC co-worker, Pastor Yin Hung Tao, really wants to take us on a road trip with his car and show us some of China. So we will be leaving Harbin on the 15th of July, traveling through China to many different spots, one of those being the place where the retreat is that I mentioned, and then continuing on down south. If you'll notice on the map, there are different colors for the various provinces in China, and those are indications of the number of COVID cases in each province, some more, some less. And so as we travel, we'll have to be mindful and I guess every day kind of watch the situation to see where we can travel, where it's safe and where it's not. So that will be our pattern, traveling from the arrow at the top there, northeast Harbin, to the south, the arrow there that says Macau. So it'll be a very interesting interesting China road trip. When we arrive in Macau, we hope to visit with the Macau Mennonite Church to encourage the brothers and sisters there, as well as the Chows, the pastors, and also be sharing with them something about what is happening here in China at the moment. We may be traveling to Hong Kong to visit the Mennonite churches there, but that's still uncertain because Hong Kong has many COVID cases right now, and it's not a place that we can travel to right now. So we'll just have to see. Maybe in a few weeks the situation might change. I remember several years ago in an English class that I was teaching, I asked one of my students, do you like shopping? And this young woman, she replied, no. And I asked her, well, why not? She said, well, when I go shopping, I need to wait in line. I just don't like to wait. You know, we live in a society where none of us like to wait. And everything needs to be fast. So we have fast foods, KFC, McDonald's, Pizza Hut, Burger King. We have instant foods, add water to instant coffee, instant noodles, instant pasta, instant oatmeal. Just add water and go. Everything needs to be fast. We want fast delivery. Things need to come to us quickly. Some people, they as well change their phones. They upgrade their phones because they want a faster phone. They can't wait. I want a new iPhone 12. I don't want the iPhone 11 anymore. And even myself, sometimes when the internet is slow, I get impatient. I don't like to wait. Even in this time of pandemic, it's a time for waiting. And we're all waiting and waiting and waiting. When will the time come when we can finally be together with our family and with our friends, as well as all meet together in the church? We're all still waiting. So I've entitled the message, Waiting on God. What does it mean to wait on God, and how can we do that? In the Bible, there are many examples of individuals who were waiting on God. We think of the Israelites who were waiting for the Messiah. We think of Elijah and the 400 prophets of Baal. Elijah was waiting for God's glory and power to come down and burn the sacrifice on the altar. We think of Abraham and Sarah waiting for their son to be born. Mary waiting for Jesus to be born. But the story that comes to my mind is the story of Zacchaeus. As you know, Zacchaeus was a short man. He had heard that Jesus was coming to town, and he knew that if a crowd gathered to see Jesus, there would be no way for him to look over the crowd. So he decided he would climb a tree and wait there for Jesus. Now, how can we position ourselves? How can we position ourselves to see Jesus? I'm not talking about how can we physically position ourselves, like Zacchaeus sitting in the tree. I'm thinking more about how can we position ourselves in regards to what kind of frame of mind could we have? How could we prepare our spirit? What kind of thinking should we have in regards to waiting on God? And so I've chosen some verses from Psalm 119. I believe that the Psalms have much practical truth for our everyday life. And as you know, many of the Psalms were written by by King David. And so in Psalm 119, David, he has much to say in regards to his predicament. He was being chased by his enemies, and so as he writes this psalm, he talks to God. He cries out to God about his predicament. He says to God, "My enemies, they are all around me, and they're very much after me." Listen to what he says. Verse 51, "The arrogant mock me without restraint." Verse 69, "The arrogant have smeared me with lies." Verse 86, "Men persecute me without cause." Or verse 95, "The wicked are awaiting to destroy me." So he's crying out to God about his enemies, how bad they are, how they're pursuing him. And then he says, he continues on, and he says to God, "God, you need to help me. I'm in such dire situation." Look at verse 132. "Turn to me and have mercy on me. You always do to those who, as you always do to those who love your name. Direct my footsteps according to your word. Let no sin rule over me. Redeem me from the oppression of men, that I may obey your precepts. And make your face shine upon your servant, and teach me your decrees." So he begins by telling God about what his situation is like. And then, it's very interesting, he changes his focus from his predicament, from his own situation, from himself. He turns the focus to God. And in verse 137, you'll notice that focus is beginning to change. He says in verse 137, "Righteous are you, O Lord, and your laws are right. The statutes you have laid down are righteous. They are fully trustworthy. Your promises have been thoroughly tested, and your servant loves them. Though I am lowly and despised, I do not forget your precepts. Your righteousness is everlasting, and your law is true. Trouble and distress have come upon me, but your commands are my delight." So I believe this is a good principle that we can learn from David, that when we're waiting on God, we need to begin by focusing on God, and focusing specifically on the attributes of God and on God's word. Focusing on God's faithfulness, God's power, God's love, and focusing on God's word in Scripture. And why is that important? Because I believe that sometimes when we wait and we don't see anything happening, we think that the time is wasted. We think that the time for waiting on God is a passive time because nothing is happening. But focusing God helps to remind us that no, it's an active time. God is active. God is at work. Maybe we can't see him, but God is at work in the background. It reminds me of the example of bamboo. Bamboo is a very interesting plant. The Chinese, they love bamboo, and there are many places in China where bamboo grows. But it grows rather interestingly. When Chinese plant the bamboo, they for the first year, they water it and fertilize it, and they see nothing. The second year, the same. They water it, they fertilize it, and nothing. The third year, still nothing, nothing to be seen. Year four, nothing. And finally, in the fifth year that the bamboo is growing, they within a period of about 6 weeks, the bamboo will grow about 9 feet. That's right. In 6 short weeks, the bamboo will grow 9 feet tall. Now, if you think of it, were someone to leave in the fourth year and go away, they would miss seeing this bamboo growing. And so I believe there's a principle here that's similar to us, similar to us waiting on God. When we wait on God, we need to remember that God is active. Even though we can't see him, but in God's own time, God will do things. Focusing on God is also an encouragement to us, because it tells us that God is truly, truly able. God is truly able. And so this focus on God, as we're reminded that he's active and encouraged that he's able, produces patience in us. The book of Galatians, chapter 5, talks about the fruits of the Spirit. And one of the fruits of the Spirit is patience. Now, if you think of physical fruit, think about fruit growing on a tree versus fruit that you find in the supermarket. Which one would be the sweeter fruit? Which one would be tastier? Which one would be juicier? Of course, it's the one that is on the tree, because the longer the fruit remains on the tree, the longer it's connected to the branches of the tree, the sweeter and the riper the fruit will get. I'm reminded of Jesus' words in the book of John, where he says, in the Gospel of John, where he says, "I'm the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit." And so, as we remain connected to God's word, as we remain connected to the living word, to Jesus, we will see our patience grow. We will see that spiritual fruit grow. So, we need to focus on God. The second principle in waiting on God is to expect from God. We need to focus on God, but we also need to expect from God. Now look at David. What does he do? Listen again to the verses from Psalm 119. This is verse 132. "Turn to me and have mercy on me, as you always do to those who love your name. I rise before dawn and cry for help. I have put my hope in you." So David has this sense of expectation. He knows that God will deliver. God is listening and God is active. Being here in China, we have connected with the Chinese church, and we have really sensed the Christian believers, the Chinese believers here in China, they have a sense of expectation when they wait upon God. They know that the church experiences many restrictions by the government, and so they know that in spite of this, God is faithful and God is sovereign, and so God will indeed be with his church and be with his people. And so we've been very encouraged by that, to watch the faith, to listen to the stories, and to listen to the hope that our Chinese brothers and sisters have, expecting God to answer prayer, to lead his church. When we have this sense of expectation, though, we also need to be attentive. That's one thing we need to do. Now listen to what David says in the Psalms. This is, again, this is verse 147. "I rise before dawn and cry for help. I have put my hope in your word. My eyes stay open through the watches of the night, that I may meditate on your promises." So David has positioned himself. He's rising in the morning, and he's staying up late. Into the middle of the night, he's awake, and he's watching, and he's listening. He's being attentive to the voice of God, to hearing from God. I think of a story that probably took place many, many years ago. This was before the advent of the internet, before the advent of emails. And it's a story about a telegraph company. And this telegraph company was looking to hire a new Morse code operator. They were also using Morse code at the time, and so they were looking for a new employee. And so a young man, he saw the ad in the paper, and so he went to the office of this company and went to the waiting room. He sat down, and he noticed that there were several other young people ahead of him sitting who were also waiting for an interview with the boss. So he sat down, and he waited, and he waited, and he waited, and all of a sudden he gets up, and he went into the office of the boss, and several minutes later, the boss comes walking out of the office with his arm around this young man, and the boss said to the others sitting down, waiting, he said, thank you very much, all of you, for coming. It's not necessary anymore for you to wait. Our company has now found a new Morse code operator. And these people, they were so angry, they got up and they said, this is not fair. That young man, he was last in line. We were all ahead of him. Why do you give him priority? Well, the boss said to the group, as you are all sitting here, a Morse code message was being sent out. And the message said, if you understand this message, then come to the boss's office. The job is yours. Obviously, none of you understood this. Had you known Morse code very well, you would have understood the message and done like this young man did. You would have stood up and you would have come into my office. But since you did not, and since he did, I know that he is very qualified, and so this is the person that we want to hire. You see, the young man was being attentive. He was listening. He was listening for clues. He was listening, and so it was for his benefit. And so when we wait on God, we also need to be attentive. We also need to ask for help to listen. The psalmist David, when he was being attentive, he said, and this is verse 147, I rise before dawn and cry for help. I have put my hope in your word. Verse 149, hear my voice in accordance with your love. Preserve my life, O Lord, according to your laws. So David is asking, God, help me. I want to listen. I want to know when your message comes, when the answer comes. Help me. I'm not able myself, so please help me. And so when we have this expectation from God, that builds in us a sense of hope. And David himself even says that. Again, verse 147. I rise before dawn and cry for help. I have put my hope in your word. So when we expect from God, it grows our hope. The third principle when we wait upon God is to remember of God. Now, look at what David does, verses 140. Your promises have been thoroughly tested, and your servant loves them. Long ago I learned from your statutes that you established them to last forever. David is saying, I have the experience. I know from the past that your promises are true. I know from long ago that your statutes were the ones that were established. I have this experience of you being faithful to me. And so we need to, as well, when we wait on God, we need to have this sense of remembering of God, remembering of God's faithfulness. I believe one way of doing that is to keep a record of answered prayer. If you remember the story in the Old Testament of the children of Israel, they crossed the Jordan, and Joshua was their leader. And when they crossed over to the other side of the Jordan, God said to Joshua, I want you to take 12 stones and make a monument right here beside the river, so that in future, when your children or your grandchildren come by this place, they will see this monument and they will be reminded that at this spot, God did something remarkable. And hopefully it will benefit them. Hopefully it will increase their faith, increase their trust in God. And so it became like a marker. And likewise, a book or some kind of record of answered prayers can also be a marker, so that it can help us to remember of God, of God's faithfulness to us in the past. In remembering of God, it's important to memorize God's promises, because we want God's promises to remain in us, his word to remain in us. The psalmist says, "My eyes stay open through the watches of the night, that I may meditate on your promises." So David is focusing and memorizing and meditating on God's word, and that is a help to him to remember of God. And a final point for C number, remember of God, the final point is to support one another. David became discouraged, became tired. If you look at what he says in verse 139, he says, "My zeal wears me out, for my enemies ignore your words. Trouble and distress have come upon me, but your commands are my delight." When we wait upon God, we all become tired and maybe discouraged. Sometimes maybe it even feels like we're pushing a boulder up the hill. But if we remember of God, it will help to grow our faith. So, when we wait upon God, if we adopt those principles, if we follow the principles of focusing, expecting, and remembering, I believe that it will grow in us patience, it will grow in us hope, and it will grow in us faith. Toby and I, being here in China, have been very, very moved, very encouraged by our Chinese brothers and sisters who have really had to wait upon God. As I have mentioned, the Chinese church experiences many restrictions by the government. It's been difficult for many years. Many, many years ago, the church was in a very difficult space. And then for a while, it seemed to be more open, and the church grew more and more. And maybe within the last 3-4 years, things have become tighter again. And yet, when we talk to our Chinese brothers and sisters, they will all say, God is the one who's sovereign. God is the one who's in control. We may think that the church is being restricted by all of these different rules and regulations, but God is the one who has the last word. And so they continue to wait on God, and they've been a very great encouragement to us to also learn to wait. And in that regard, the scriptures have a wonderful promise for us from the book of Isaiah. This is a very familiar verse, I'm sure, to all of you. "Those who wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will not walk and not be faint." So this is my hope for all of us, that the Lord will continue to help us grow in waiting upon him. And when we do so, he will renew us. He will give us strength, and he will help us to continue on in the journey. So we just praise him and thank you for your prayers for us here in China. Please continue to pray for your brothers and sisters in the Chinese church here in Harbin and in the rest of China. It's wonderful to know that we are all part of God's large family. Amen.
In response, I would invite you to open your hymnal, a worship book, to number 327. We will only sing the first verse, as we are going to sing another sending song, number 97 in the Sing the Journey. Please rise. Bow for the benediction. Now to him who by the power at work within us is able to accomplish abundantly far more than we can ask or imagine, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Let's turn finally in our Sing the Journey to number 97, The Lord is My Light. Peace.
Permission to podcast copyrighted music in this service is obtained from one license, license number 400100P, and from CCLI license number 11517309. All rights are reserved.